Mark, good morning.
Hey there.
Thanks very much for joining us here on the program this morning. So looking at the setting for Stranger Things and this kind of very warm reception that it's gotten from, I guess, a lot of older viewers who might have grown up in the 1980s, what is it? What is it about Stranger Things, about setting these kind of things in the 80s that makes us feel all warm and fuzzy?
Okay, it's not just the fact that it's set during the 1980s. It's the way that this series looks and feels. So anyone who has that experience, and I know many of us do, I certainly had it in the early 90s, of courageously venturing through the video store shelves and settling on the heroically monstrous box art of all the old horror VHSs. Anyone who has any affectionate memories for that moment, any nostalgia for that moment when they could check out their first R-rated film as a child or a teenager or whatever, it seems to tap into that, and it does so with some of the casting choices. So we have Winona Ryder, who's just an excellent throwback to the films of the 80s that found home on those VHS videos, but also in just the kind of look and feel and shape it has, which I think we can sense nowhere more poignantly than in the soundtrack, which is just nothing but thunderous, pulsating synths. It sounds like something from an old John Carpenter flick.
Well, when mentioning the name John Carpenter, a great deal of, very fabulous creature features sort of come to mind. How does that sort of horror that we were seeing in that era, that 80s sort of horror and science fiction, how does it compare to today's more standard fare of the horror and sci-fi?
How does it compare to today's horror and sci-fi? I don't think today's horror and sci-fi is necessarily standard fare. There have been a few very notable and obvious shifts. Horror films have become more violent, much nastier, with special effects budgets going up. You get more license to show things in greater detail. But I think where this program sets itself apart is against the raft of other horror films that have recently been adapted into television series. So we think of the pitch-perfect adaptation of Hannibal, so coming from Silence of the Lambs. We think of the tremendously and awesomely gory take on The Evil Dead in Ash versus The Evil Dead. We have a whole raft of these shows coming out at the moment. Even more recent films such as Wolf Creek and Scream are finding themselves cropping up on television. But unlike those, this one seems to bear fidelity to the aesthetic that it's hearkening back to. It doesn't just take the story and the tropes. It comes back to that thing that's harder to put your finger on, the feel of something that was made several decades ago.
Because it's quite intriguing you mentioned that. I mean, again, with the name John Carpenter, we saw the remake a couple of years ago, and I actually thought it was quite an excellent remake of John Carpenter's The Thing. And we see coming up now, especially when we're talking about Stranger Things, which has been compared to the works of Stephen King, we're seeing a remake of, a film that was made in the 80s. Obviously, the book was written back then. It. We are seeing the film It that is going to be remade as well. Do we have a little bit of a hunger at the moment for these remakes and for this kind of nostalgic industry?
I think absolutely. We can put this down to, I think, two things. One is that Hollywood or American visual narrative production seems to be running out of ideas a bit. But on the other hand, there seems to be something else driving this, that these sci-fi and horror stories from the 1980s, they speak to a different historical time when the future was slightly more open, slightly more hopeful than it was after the dastardly neoliberal 90s. So there seems to be some sort of political edge creeping through and driving this resurgence of the older forms.
In fact, when we talk about the political edge in watching the series Stranger Things, we see fairly oblique references, but it is certainly central to the setting, to the plot, about the Cold War, about the fear of communism, the fear of Russia sort of looming in the background of this story. Does that kind of simple good guys and bad guys narrative kind of feed into the feeling of these films as well?
To an extent, yes, but it's not so much an us, the Americans, the West, the capitalist states, versus them, the Soviets, the communists. One of the things that makes this series interesting is the fact that the communist identifications, they're the ones that are shown as sympathetic. It's the American government, the CIA, the law enforcement. They're the ones that you really shouldn't trust. However, we have these small bands of children forming the primitive communism of childhood friendship, and that seems to be getting echoed between what's happening there stateside and what's happening on the other side of the world in the Soviet states.
Just perhaps as a final point, you did sort of mention this harkens back very warmly, the aesthetic harkens back very warmly to a lot of people, especially those, including myself, as yourself, those who might have collected these wonderful VHSs, watched these wonderful VHSs in the early 90s and gotten their real idea of creature features, horror and sci-fi and all these kind of films from those VHSs quite early. It gives us this nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. But you've also warned against getting too nostalgic, creators getting too nostalgic for these kind of forms or for these earlier forms. Why is that?
Well, I think horror and horror films and horror television are specific here. It's that horror, part of its social value is that it's always taught us to be wary of certain things, be wary of certain forces. Now, if we're being told to be concerned with the social concerns of the 80s, the 70s, or going back earlier still, the films that we're looking at, the televisual adaptations that we're watching, they seem to lose their social value. Horror seems to lose sight of that political edge that has been so important to it since its very earliest days. Now, I think if we buy too into nostalgia at the level of form, if it's simply nostalgia of the way something looks and that, as you describe, warm, fuzzy feeling that it gives us, I think that can be potentially dangerous and it can potentially diminish the value of horror as a whole. However, I think this case is exceptional insofar as it's not just, as I said, nostalgic for the look and the feel, but also nostalgic for that political antinomy between the United States and the Soviet Union. I think that gives it something a bit more deep.
Well, Mark, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on the program this morning. Have a little bit of a chat about this one.
All right. Thank you, Sean.